Ask the Podcast Coach for April 12, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, yeah. There it is. It's Saturday. It's time to talk a little podcasting. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where we get your questions answered live. That would be, in terms of the podcast coach today, that would be me, Dave Jackson, from theschoolofpodcasting.com. And joining me over there via a Google Hangout, the one, the only, Darren Dake from engaginglifeandleadership.com. Darren, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, I'm having a wonderful day already.
Beautiful. How's the, we had a little experiment going on. We weren't sure if I was going to be coming through twice on your end or not. Well, that's interesting, because now you're coming in all wobbly, warbly. But Alan Newsom is in the chat room. That's a good news. Alan, nice to see you. And if you want to call in, our phone number is, of course, he said hitting the jingle, 440-253-9922. We have no agenda. You can just call in on anything about podcasting, 440-253-9922. So feel free to call in. Darren, are you still with me, buddy?
I'm here.
Okay, much better. Because I was getting worried. I'm like, wow, I might have to do this show solo. Because for a second, you went really like underwater kind of stuff, which I'm slowly finding out. We did a podcast review show the other night using Google Hangouts. We actually did a Google Hangout on air. And towards the end, one of the guys on the line turned into a robot and was like, oh, okay, that's going to be, because I've had that on Skype. Haven't really had it a whole lot on Google Hangouts or Hangouts on Air, things like that. And so for those of us, now I know who you are, but for somebody who's never, like, Darren, who? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I do have a podcast, Engaging Life and Leadership. It's a co-hosted show with Anita Brooks. Both of us are authors and speakers, and we're Christian coaches and counselors. And our podcast is about discussing relevant answers for Christian men and women in leadership. Love podcasting, and been doing it now for about a year. I'm hooked. I'm an associate pastor at my church and a business leader, so I don't know what else I can tell you.
There you go. Well, you have that whole – what are I know – when we kind of touched base on some things, you said you could probably bring some stuff to the table in terms of co-hosting. What have you found? Any lessons learned there on having a co-host? Because a lot of my shows I do solo, although I am adding more and more co-hosts as we go along. But what have you found from that realm?
Well, you know, the big thing about co-hosted shows is you have to really have some pre-planning done, because if you're going to have a consistent co-hosted show, you've got scheduling issues to contend with, and then you've got to make some agreements ahead of time, because, you know, the show starts becoming popular and you're able to monetize, then how does the money get split up? Whose studio are you using? So you've really got to think ahead on that. And then one of the biggest things is, you know, if, especially in the case of Anita and I, we're very busy in our own rights, and so how do we make the commitments to be in studio once a week? Sometimes we have to make some arrangements for either Google Hangouts or phone calls or stuff. But, you know, co-hosted shows are great, and I think it adds a lot to the conversation, because we get different viewpoints. But, you know, you have to really have the commitment from both parties, and you got to kind of weigh that out.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's been kind of a hassle with my podcast review shows. My wife's schedule is all over the place. So we brought Eric K. Johnson on, and my wife will get there when she can, but it's kind of like, yeah, okay, you just never know. And when but I'm glad you said that. We said, all right, we're doing that show Thursdays at 8, and we just had to say that this is it. This is the day we're going to do it, and that way everybody can plan around it. And that's always a great tip, because likewise, I do I help Ray Ortega with Podcasters Roundtable. So you got Ray on the West Coast, Daniel Jay Lewis from the Audacity to Podcast.com, and myself are both East Coast guys. And then you have guests and such that are all over the place. And it is, it's hard to pick a time when everybody's available. And especially if you're having guests from, you know, Sweden and Australia, then everybody has to do the old math on what time is it in your world? Wait, it's tomorrow already? Wait a minute. And it does get a little tough. And one of the things you said that's a really great point is a lot of times people start podcasts because they're fun. I want to just talk with my buddy. And it's great. And what happens if you hit the nail on the head and it starts to get really, really popular? And then maybe you have sponsorships, you have affiliate sales, all sorts of stuff that you're earning money. And that's where things get really, really ugly. Or in the case of somebody like Callie Lewis, who does now Geek Beat, not Geek Brief. Well, it was Geek Brief. She did Geek Brief with her now ex-husband, hence the problem. And now she does Geek Beat because they couldn't come to an agreement on who owned the name. And in the end, they had to blow it up, rebrand herself, and start from not so much from scratch, because her audience hopefully followed her. But that's something you don't realize is if it's the Ernie and the Bert show and Bert leaves, can Ernie still do the show? Can he change? You know, look at Regis and Kathy Lee, right? It was Regis and Kathy, and then it was Regis and Kelly. And now I don't know who took over for Regis at this point, but you got to have that stuff up front, because what happens when things go, not so much even go sour. Some people just go, look, one of the biggest hurdles of podcasting, and I love them to death, they're called babies. I know a couple people who have, you know, had a great run at podcasting, and, you know, life happens, and as wonderful as they are, those little boogers, they grab your attention and they don't let go.
So. Yeah, one thing we did was, you know, I started a show solo and had her on as a guest a couple of times, and then soon we kind of talked about maybe doing it co-host, and so we did several shows co-hosted, and then we made the decision we were going to have a co-hosted show, and we were going to brand it that way. Well, once we made that decision, then we sat down and did some pre-planning, and we even went so far, and we did a filing ourselves, so it wasn't that expensive, but we went so far as to create Engaging Life and Leadership as an LLC. So we know each other's, if one of us decides to bow out voluntarily, then they relinquish everything to the other person. But there's ways, there's get out clauses. What if one of us dies and there's money coming in, who gets to, you know, who's the beneficiary of the LLC? It seems like a lot for a podcast, right? But I'm kind of agreeing with you. If you're going to go into a podcast where you're serious to help people and do things, you need to, once you get to the point where you realize it's serious, then be serious. But if you're just two friends talking, that's great. But then what if?
Right. And one of the things that I have a book called Get Your Band Out of the Basement. And I talk about doing a very similar thing if you're in a band. And I say, once you get all the business stuff out of the way, right? Who owns the equipment? Who owns the name? Because, I mean, there are all sorts of famous bands like Pink Floyd and Jefferson Starship that go to great lengths. Queensryche now is another one. Everybody's fighting over the name. Once you get all those little details and everybody knows exactly what to expect and everybody knows exactly who's doing what and who's doing the promotion and who's doing the editing and all that icky stuff that goes into making a podcast, once that's all hammered out, then you can focus on the fun stuff. Okay, let's make some great content. Let's entertain some people and let's help people. Let's make people laugh, whatever it is you're doing. And, you know, once you get that done, you only have to do it once. It's not like you have to have monthly meetings to review the agenda or whatever, things like that. But yeah, that's a great point.
It's all about communication, because what happens a couple of years down the road when you say, well, I thought this and I thought that. We even worked out the studio. I own the studio. I own all the equipment in the studio. And the situation is with the monetization coming in, what about upkeep and taking care of the equipment? Well, Engaging Life and Leadership LLC pays me and my studio for studio rent. All it is bookwork. But the point is that now there's money to cover studio fees and things like that. And it seems like a lot, but really it's not. If you're going to go in and do something serious, you've just got, then the other big thing, like I said, is working out the scheduling. You know, we've committed to schedule. It's usually Monday nights is when we do our shows, and we try to stay 2 or 3 weeks ahead. But there's times that she travels, I'm traveling, and we either have to do 2 or 3 shows in one, like next month, I'll be gone to speak at a conference in El Salvador. I'll be gone for 2.5 weeks. Well, we're going to put enough in a can in April that they'll be uploaded through May so that while I'm gone, nobody misses a beat. But, you know, you have to plan that stuff because that takes time.
Yeah, it's always good to have one in the can or two or three or four, things like that. We have a question in the chat room, and Angela is asking if are there any podcasters in the Atlanta region? One of the things you can do, a great resource for this, Angela, is if you go to meetup.com, there are often different groups at meetup.com on, a slew of topics. You just type in your topic, and it'll show you where people are. I know I went to a WordPress meetup in a little suburb of Akron, Ohio, which is about an hour south of Cleveland, called Cuyahoga Falls. And lo and behold, one of the guys that works for WordPress was at the meetup. He lives somewhere near Akron. And so if you're looking to network with other people, what's really sad is I live in Cleveland, and I actually started a meetup group here in Cleveland. And it's one of those things, again, that if you think if you build it, they will come. And it is just not the case. They did a nice blast out at Meetup saying, hey, there's a new meetup group in Cleveland. If you're interested, come and join. But, you know, it's a thing I got to go out and, you know, pound a couple drums and get a couple megaphones in the street and announce to the world of Cleveland that, hey, there's a meetup group for podcasters, because it's not a case of just if I throw my shingle out there, everybody will show up. But if you're looking to network with other people, there you go. Mike Howard is in Atlanta, and Mike Howard is in the chat room. Mike, I want to thank you, buddy, for your comment a couple weeks ago about how we were talking about, look at this, the whole chat room's from Atlanta. Mike had made a point about starting podcasts. Sometimes people feel inhibited about starting a podcast because somebody else is doing a similar podcast, and he said, if that was the case, restaurants would never open. Because if you think about it, we all eat, and if I want a burger, I got about 13 billion choices. I can go to Wendy's and Burger King, and I can go to Five Guys Burgers and Fries, and I can go to, you know, there's all these different places to get a burger. But yet, every year, people open up new restaurants, and that is going to be one of the themes of Monday's School of Podcasting show. So, Mike, thanks for sharing your that tidbit. You have inspired me, my friend, to go that route. And if you'd like to inspire me right now, you can call in anybody, any question, 440-253-9922. Should probably mention that if you want to join in on the chat, if you're listening on Spreaker.com or if you're listening over at Mixler, you can find us by going to schoolofpodcasting.com/live. We're there every Saturday. And I got to make that more obvious. I've had a couple people say, I go to the School of Podcasting and I don't see anything about Ask the Podcast Coach. And it's there, but you do have to dig through it. But I love stuff like that. Any kind of constructive feedback, I need to put a button on the site or something like that and make it a little more obvious to go. But I did want to mention something, because a happening, I guess we could say, in the podcast world, back in the day, and we're talking like 2006, I'll throw a link to this in the chat room. One of the first big companies that had $39 million for podcasting was Mevio. And Mevio has pulled the plug. They are no more. And I will continue with that story right after we get done talking with Ken Kassler has joined us. So, Ken.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
I'm good. Calling from beautiful North Idaho. I guess I'll introduce myself to you guys. I have a podcast, Thinking Outside of the Box. Been doing it for a little over half a year on a weekly basis. And that can be found. I mean, this is not PR. I'm just learning that I have to get this information out before we start chatting.
There you go.
It can be found at bountifulproductions.com, or you can go to iTunes or Stitcher and just search for Thinking Outside of the Box. Okay, how are you guys this morning?
You know, it's we were talking before we hit record. Spring has sprung. Darren's over in Missouri. I'm over here in Cleveland, where it's a 61 degrees this morning. And I was like, wow, it's actual sunshine. I was actually walking to my office today, and it's been a while since I could walk to the office because it was either raining or I was digging through mountains of snow. So it's a beautiful thing out here. What can we help you with?
Well, it's a beautiful day here, although it was 31 degrees when I got up this morning, and there is still snow on the high mountains, but it's springtime. Okay, I got a couple things. One of them you answered on the podcast technology site. I asked the question about Hangout on Air, and for the life of me, maybe there's something up with my computer, but I go to, you know, my Google Plus site and I say start a hangout on air, and, you know, it verifies that my YouTube account is set up. And then I just have this one screen that says start now, and nothing happens. And there's no button on the bottom that says begin broadcasting or anything. I'm wondering
if, are you on a Mac or a PC?
I'm on a Mac. So, and that might be the issue.
It might be. I know the 1 week I was trying to do Uber conference, which is what we're using here to have you call in for this show. And I used my Mac, and Uber conference just would not. The plugin for, I think I was using Safari at the time, and I was in a Google Hangout like we are now, and it just would not run. It just, and so I don't know if Safari on the Mac side, if anybody in the chat room wants to chime in, if you've ever done a Google Hangout on air.
I'm on a Mac, but I'm using the Chrome browser.
Okay.
So I don't use Safari.
That was going to be my next suggestion, is maybe try Chrome. The tricky part, and the lovely thing about Google Hangouts on air is, number one, it changes, I swear, almost on a weekly basis. I know I made three tutorials on how to set up and install a Google Hangout on air, and they're almost completely outdated now. And one of the things that looks very intuitive is once it does start, in the bottom right-hand corner, there's a button that says links, and you can link right to the Google Hangout on Air on your YouTube. There's a link to the event and then an embed code. So if you want to put it somewhere, you could do that. But what they don't give you is where's the link to invite whoever's going to be on the Hangout? And once it starts,
right.
And once it starts, and I realize in your case we can't even get it to start, but once it starts, you go up to the really long, really ugly link of the actual Hangout, copy that.
Right, the URL.
Yeah.
The URL for the site, right?
Yeah. And you would send that to whoever you're going to have on it, and that's how that works. But and you're saying when you click on that, just nothing happens.
No, it asked me to verify my YouTube account, which takes me to a separate window, and I do that. And now when I go to that separate window, it says your account is already verified, but there's no start podcast. Broadcast button. And I'll play with it some more. I can borrow a friend's computer on a different operating system. That wasn't my burning desire. I just okay. I thought I'd throw that out there as an unanswered question.
Yeah, the one thing I want to let me chime in here before I get to that is, and it's an easy thing to forget, is when you go into the Hangout, it's actually the Hangout is going, but you're not live. And once you do that, you will have a button at the bottom that says Start Broadcast. Because I know when we do the Podcasters Roundtable, Ray will be getting people to adjust their volume levels. And that's one of the things I really like about a Google Hangout on air is, as the person who starts it, you'll be able to go up into, if you go into the toolbox, you have to load the little toolbox icon on the left-hand side. You can actually get a volume slider for each person. So you're in control of the volume. And that's actually why the other night I did the podcast review show, and I was able to adjust the different volumes of the different people. So that's the other thing I want to point out. That's one of the cool things about a Hangout on air. So go ahead. What's your second question?
Anyway, yeah, I look forward to exploring that in the future. Just to sum that up, all I wanted to do was record a visual demonstration of one of the guys I was interviewing. He was showing a breathing technique, and we ended up going around that, and he called me, and we got on the Hangout from his side. So anyway, it all worked out. Well, okay, here's what's going on. I'm kind of bearing my soul to all you guys, and I mentioned this, I think it was just last week I talked to you. I'm going to kind of put my podcast either to bed or just reduce it down to maybe a 5 or 10 minute summary of what I see as new in the world of holistic health, mainly because A, time constraints, B, I'm not actually sure that I'm targeting an audience. You know, I think my scope is too broad.
Can I interrupt right there before you go into that? There's nothing wrong with that. people say that like it's a failure. I'm stopping my show. It's like, hey, you know what? If it's not fun, if it's not doing it for you, it's not like we're going to cut your pay. You know, feel free to, you know, people say that like, oh, I failed. I'm going to quit. You know what? I did a show called the Customer Service Show. I think I made it to the mandatory 6 episodes. It wasn't fun. All I was doing was complaining. It was hard to produce. I didn't like it. And I went, you know what? And that was the end of that show. It wasn't a big deal.
No, I agree. I agree. I guess the thing is, I want to kind of not so much keep my feet in the water, but I don't want to burn any bridges. And, you know, I do have the website up, mm-hmm. you know.
What bridges would you burn? Who's going to be mad? What bridges are you burning?
Well, that kind of brings me right to my next question. You know, I'd like to be able to read my stats better, you know, on Libsyn. Because what I'm going to do is reduce to the $5 a month rate where I won't have those stats available to me.
Go to 7.
And, you know,
go to
7?
Go to 7 and keep your basic stats. The other alternative is to go to 5 and use Blueberry stats and go back and update all your old episodes. And for me, for $2, I'll just, you know, now you're not going to get all the fancy schmancy where they came from, how they consumed it. But if you just want download stats, go to 7.
Okay, I can see doing that. But now, thanks for mentioning the fancy schmancy. I can't get to that. Is that on Libsyn? You know, I'd like to find out who's downloading, how long they're listening.
Yeah,
it's things like that. I mean,
it's on Libsyn, and if you're on a Libsyn account, you have to have the $20 a month for the fancy schmancy stats. If you're on Blueberry, you got to pay for stats. Their free stats don't give you the fan. There are some. I forget exactly which stats you don't get for free on Blueberry, but there are some stats that are not available for free. But yeah, you have to have the $20 a month plan for the fancy schmancy ones on Libsyn. Which is kind of a bummer because most people can get by with 15. A $15 a month plan will get you right in the ballpark. And I wish there was a way you could go 15, like 17. Give me 17. Which, again, when you're talking $3 a month, it's like, look, that's a Starbucks.
Well, okay, still talking about stats. Can you get your stats from iTunes and Stitcher also? And the one I'm interested in, and you mentioned it, and I can't find, is the one where I can go, oh, okay, 80% only listen to 30 seconds.
That's Stitcher.
20% listen. That's only on Stitcher.
Only on Stitcher, yeah. iTunes provides zero stats. All iTunes is, it's the radio that listens to your station. You have no idea how many people are subscribed. You have nothing. And that's where companies like Libsyn and Blueberry that have these stats, when you get, again, the big fancy schmancy stuff, can look at where people are coming to get your file. And then they can tell you, okay, this person's listening on an iPhone, this person's on an Android, this person's on your website, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, and so my Libsyn stats, will they show my iTunes subscriptions or do they just show...
Nope.
Okay.
What I hate about this is Apple has that information. They can tell you how many people are subscribed. They're just not sharing. They know how many people subscribed. I used to cheat. I put a link on my website to my iTunes account so I could tell how many people had clicked on it, but that doesn't let me know how many people actually subscribed. And plus, that doesn't take into account how many people just found me in iTunes without going to my website. So, unfortunately, they have that information. They're just not telling anybody.
Go ahead.
Let me ask, do you know how many downloads per show you're getting? Are you even seeing that stat?
Yeah, I'm seeing that. And I mentioned this last week. It's average. It's around between 40 and 85 a week, which, you know... according to Dave, that's pretty much the average, and that's fine. It's just right now my life is taking me in other directions, so I want to keep my foot in the podcasting pool or whatever you want to say it.
Yeah,
but I'm going to just scale back.
Yeah, I just heard a stat from Rob Walsh from Libsyn. He said the median, which means 50% of the people are below this number and 50% are above, and that number was 170. 170 per episode. And Alan is saying here in the chat room that Blueberry does show who what platforms people are using to consume your stats in their free stats. So that's kind of cool. And he goes, that includes iTunes. So it shows how many people are coming from iTunes. Doesn't show you how many subscribers you have. And but it does show that, you know, it's going through iTunes. And a couple of people have mentioned that, and it's hard not to do, it's really hard not to do, is don't get too obsessed with your stats. Go back to, you know, the idea is to pick, to pick a topic that you just love to talk about, whether anybody's listening or not. But it is, you don't, on one hand, you love to talk about it. On the other hand, you kind of want to know somebody's listening. So.
Yeah, that's right. Well, so tell me again about Blueberry. I mean, I have a WordPress site, and so that's something I can go on to my WordPress site and somehow.
Yeah, Blueberry is a it's a network, for lack of a better phrase. Now there are a couple things, and this is what gets confusing. Blueberry is a directory, for lack of a better phrase. It's also a media hosting company. We're not talking about that right now. And they're also the makers of the PowerPress plugin. We're not talking about that right now. We're just going to talk about them as a directory. So you can go over, and they are also a stat service, which we will be talking about here in a second. So you can go over and add your show to Blueberry. Now, the fun thing is Blueberry is blubrry.com. It's not, there's no E's in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can add your show to that directory. And if you want to then, so that's just added exposure for free. Doesn't cost you a thing to be on Blueberry, the directory. Now, you can also add stats to that for free. And this is where, if you're using the PowerPress plugin, which many people are, you can go into the settings and say, well, first of all, you go into the stats area of the Blueberry platform, and it'll give you a link. It'll say, if you're using our stats, put this link, and it's, you know, blueberry.com/whatever, blah, blah, blah. Copy that, you paste it into your PowerPress settings, and what it does is every time somebody downloads your show, before it does, it goes over and says, hey, Blueberry, that's a download. So it's a quick little redirect. It redirects to Blueberry, who says, yep, that's a download, and then it sends them to your actual download. And so that's so it's a little redirect, and it's free. There are free stats, and they're really pretty stats as well, but you can do that. If you're using Libsyn, some people say, well, I have the $20 Libsyn plan. Should I do Blueberry stats? And I'm like, it's kind of overkill. And that's where now you're going to obsess over two stat areas. You're kind of feeding the beast in that case. But yeah, you can always try it, and it doesn't hurt to turn it on and then later go, oh, okay, I see what this does. And then if you take that away, then you don't get stats anymore in that area. You'll still get them on Libsyn or wherever you got. And it's very similar. Blueberry stats, that setup of having a redirect is been around forever. It's back in 2005, and they're still around. It's a company called PodTrack, P-O-D-T-R-A-C. They have free stats, very similar to Blueberry's, but their whole thing is they are the original company that tries to find you sponsorship, and but they want you to have 20,000 unique downloads per episode. They're people that help, what's his name, Leo Laporte and other people find sponsorships. They're hunting for the big dogs. But you can still use their stats. But for me, I'd rather, if I'm going to use free stats, I'm going to use Blueberry, just because it's Blueberry's a good company. Todd and the boys over there are they're very accessible. And not that PodTrack isn't, but I think Blueberry's a little more accessible in terms of free stats.
Okay. That's been very helpful. I'm going to let you move on to other topics. I really appreciate the help there, Dave.
Are you welcome?
And I guess I want to put in another plug. I'm not pod fading. I'm just kind of pod tuning down. And so you can find me Thinking Outside of the Box. You can search that on iTunes or Stitcher. And I am always open for comments and suggestions from my listening audience. I mean, I'm begging for it. So if you got any comments. If you got any comments, let me know. I'm going to put you on the household stereo and just listen in while I clean house. So
there
I'm
you go.
Checking out. All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. That's right. Go get those dust bunnies, buddy. There you go. So, yes, stats. It's a hard thing not to get obsessed with.
I'm still obsessed with stats, and I don't mean to, but I'm always checking my 4-week average.
Yeah, I love that in Libsyn. I go down, click on the month. I actually have I started a spreadsheet, and what I do now is when I upload the show, I go down, click on 1 month, I look up the number is, and I go into a spreadsheet and compare it to the previous month. That way, I can kind of build my own little trend line on that, and it's interesting because it does vary. Like it'll go from I had a huge dip the 1 week, and I was like, "Ooh, what's going on?" And then the next week, it was a spike, and so it depends a lot of times on who's on the show and what your topic is and things.
And I'll tell you, something that really helps downloads is the title of your show. Yep. I've got a show out there called Sewing a Hummingbird in Your Shorts. Now, that come from a quote that the person we interviewed said, but just simply because of that show's title, it is the highest downloaded show. It's not the best show. It's just the highest downloaded show.
Yeah, I did a show once called Overcoming Procrastination. I forget what the name of which show it was on. It might have been my Logical Weight Loss, but just that title. Wow, huge, huge spike. So, yeah.
That is my second highest, and that show gets the most hits on our website of any show. But that's the second highest download is our procrastination show.
Yeah, the chat room is dying to know, what the heck is sewing a hummingbird into your pants? Give us a quick synopsis of what the heck that is about.
Well, we interviewed an author, and she lives up north. I forget. Actually, I forget her name. Anyway, and she writes books called Birder Murders, and it's about bird watchers who get murdered, and it's as her book. Anyway, in there she talked about how this bird is there's a big black market when it comes to birds, and she told a story of how a guy had went to Brazil, I think it was, and he was smuggling hummingbirds back into the United States, and to do them he put a little net over them to keep their feathers down, and then he sewed them into his underwear and got on the plane. But the birds were alive and kept moving around, and when he landed, they brought attention to the fact that this guy's wiggling around, something's wrong. They took him, searched him, and found hummingbirds sewed into shorts. So that's where the title came from.
That is, wow. That's a little different. That's going the extra mile.
apparently he makes a lot of money from these smuggled in hummingbirds.
Well, I started to tell the story of Mevio pulling the plug, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because it's history, and what do we care about it? But just I want to do this in the event, and I don't think we're going to get it this time. Any time in the past where companies like Podango, and I forget the other one, I think it was My Podcast, these were free media hosts. And the bad news about Mevio, they were one of the first companies. This was, if you ever hear people talk about, oh, we're going to quit our day jobs and be podcasters, this is one of the companies that really was promoting that, and it was fun. I was actually one of the first podcasters on that network. I remember I ran one ad for McDonald's and got $300. I'm like, this is awesome. And the bad news is this was in 2006, and you got to remember back then we were explaining to everybody that you didn't need an iPod to listen to a podcast, and we're explaining what a podcast is, and they had a super-duper hard time getting advertisers because they were just going around being educators. This is a company that was started by Ron Blum and Adam Curry, who, of course, Adam Curry being the guy that invented podcasting along with Dave Weiner. And the bad news is along the line, they had podcasters in, and they kind of dropped the ball in terms of developing their inner community. We had all these podcasters that were producing content, but there was no way for us to communicate or promote each other's show. They had technology that would have made it super easy to promote each other's show, and they didn't use it. And it wasn't until the very first New Media Expo that we all got to see each other face to face. And then we just went outside the box and said, I think it was a Yahoo group. We made a Yahoo group and started networking with each other. But we also found out that we weren't always getting the big picture. And there wasn't a lot of communication, official communication from Mevio. And, you know, God bless the sales guys. They're out trying to sell, but they weren't really communicating with our staff. So if I said, you know, how could they have made the company better? They didn't really do that. But in the long run, somewhere along the line, they switched their focus. and like they would have affiliate deals for us, but instead of sending people to my affiliate link, I had to send them to the Mevio site to click on my affiliate link. And the reason for that was they were trying to get as much traction back to their website, not so much my website. And that's when we all started going, hey, this sounds a little fishy at this point. And they actually came in and took over our Yahoo group. They said, you can't have this. This isn't right because you guys are just complaining. And we went, well, yeah, we're complaining. And they said, well, we're going to come in. And they listened to our complaints and then did nothing with them. And there's nothing worse you can do to your customers than get their opinion and then ignore it. And to make a long story short, it just the focus became more on getting people to their website. And I noticed that even when I would go in to upload an episode, I had to watch an ad. So it was all about ad plays and how many, I'm sure they're selling CPM deals on their ads. And then they kicked out the audio podcasters. So this is the reason I bring this up is everybody's looking for free media hosting. How can I do this for free? Here's another example of a company that had $39 million and yet again could not get free media hosting to work. So that's the bottom line of this. Don't quit looking for free media hosting. It's yet another just asterisk in the story of why free media hosting doesn't work. And what happened this week is they had video stuff. Why? Because it's easy to put an ad in front of a video podcast. And this week they closed the doors completely at Mevio. They've kind of rebranched. They've kind of relaunched as Bite Size Media. But it's, again, all video stuff. And I just say that because, A, number one, free media is a bad idea. And number two, in the event everybody says, see, I told you podcasting's dead, one of the biggest companies went under. No, not so much. They kind of dropped the ball in a couple different ways. And I think they were a little bit ahead of their time. If they had started today with $39 million, it'd be interesting to see what they did. They also spent a large amount of time because, again, in 2006, it was super hard to subscribe to a podcast. And they spent a lot of time developing their website to be the place to subscribe to podcasts. And once iTunes came out, it was game over. So they spent a lot of money having that. So in case somebody hits you up with a, yeah, I told you podcasting's crap, you know, well, that was an old company and they kind of dropped the ball on that. So that's Dave's history lesson for the day. So see that that's what's going on. And again, if you want to call in, our phone number is 440-253-9922. And I got to give a shout out to Steve Stewart, who is in our chat room. And I listen to a bunch of different podcasts. I know I listen to the feed, and I think Steve always has a question for the feed. And I think every other episode they're mentioning that. And I forget the other show I listened to, and somebody mentioned MoneyPlanSOS.com. And I was like, Steve is finding an easy way to promote his podcast simply by interacting with the hosts. And that's an easy way to do it is just send in a question. And almost every host will say, oh, yeah, Steve Stewart from MoneyPlanSOS.com asked this question. That's free promotion. Now, are you going to get, you know, 25,000 unique downloads per episode by doing that? No, but you might get two. And two leads to four, and four leads to eight. Eight leads to 16. So we got somebody from Huntsville, Madison. Or I'm sorry, Huntsville. What? Where the heck is Huntsville? What's your name and what's your question?
That's Alabama. It's Alan Newsom, yeah.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, doing fine. My podcast is, as you may remember, it's Two Chairs, No Waiting. It's an Andy Griffith Show fan podcast. And what I've been hearing a lot, because we've had the podcast talent coach and you guys, there's a lot of focus now from all the coaches and things like that about trying to help people focus on their audience. And really, it's more about how to figure out how to get money to some degree, which I understand. I think that's a good thing. But what I'm seeing is a lot, but my podcast is really about a show that was 50 something years old.
Yeah.
So there's not a whole lot of new stuff coming out about it. And it seems like we've kind of lost a little bit of the focus on just having a good time and putting out entertainment for some of the shows.
Sure.
Not totally. And I'm not blaming anybody for that either. I understand everybody wants to make some money. I do too. So I understand that. But I guess when we're starting to try to focus our audience and we're trying to narrow down to a target, that has been something that I've heard a lot of, you know, they want us to focus our who we're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a show like the one I do, where it's just fans of the Andy Griffith Show, how do you focus down your target? Because I understand my target audience is fans of the Andy Griffith Show. And honestly, in my case, my show is, I kind of call it inside baseball for the Andy Griffith Show, because if you don't really like it, the show itself, you're going to have a hard time enjoying some of the topics we talk about. Because I get down into the minutia about who the prop master was on the Andy Griffith Show or something like that. But how do you really focus down on an entertainment type podcast, not mine in general, specifically, but how do you focus down to who your target is?
That is a good question. Well, on one hand, you've got, you know, the original listeners who, I mean, I grew up watching Andy Griffith, so I'm pushing 50 at this point. So you kind of have that idea. I was, what years was that on? Like when originally, because I remember originally it came out in black and white.
Right, 1960 to 1969.
Okay. So I was, 69, I was 4. So I was obviously watching reruns. I just remember I used to watch it when I was eating lunch, eating my SpaghettiOs and a bologna sandwich. So you're going to have those people. That's a great question, because on one hand, are there any shows like that today?
Right. And that's been kind of, I mean, I understand it's a fan of the Andy Griffith Show, but that could be almost anybody. So I guess I've had a hard time. I mean, I know fans of the Andy Griffith Show, so when I'm doing my podcast, I think about them as I talk and know what I enjoy talking with them about in person. But I guess it's different than a business type podcast or something where you actually have a target audience that you're trying to reach.
Yeah, I mean, you've kind of niched down. You've got that part. It's just a matter of figuring out now, where are they? You know,
right.
That's
the hard
part.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. And so that's a case where I don't know if there are any, you know, forums or Google Plus groups on.
Well, I had I run the imavery.com website. And so I had a built-in, even when I started my podcast, a big audience. I run a mailing list that's got, you know, 1500 people on it. I mean, I had a lot of that already. So I had some audience like that, but I guess, you know, the question is, because I hear, well, like I said, the podcast talent coach, Eric, he's always talking about focusing down who your listener is. And while that is easier, I think, if you're doing a podcast about business or a podcast about selling screwdrivers or something, but it's harder, I think, when you have an entertainment type podcast, and I never really hear anybody talk about that. So I didn't know, you know, maybe that was something that maybe I need to get Eric to answer those kind of things. But that's how do you? I don't know how you focus that. I've been thinking about that for several weeks. And
John Parker has a great point here. Fan clubs would be a good place to go. You know, I'm sure that you've probably already hit that realm. And it is. It's kind of like, if you think about it, if we go into entertainment, I know here in Cleveland there's a whole bunch of buzz because the rock band Kiss is being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And if somebody says, what's a typical Kiss fan? We got the people that listened to them in the 70s that now have kids, and their kids are getting into the band, listening to their dad's music or whatever. So that would be my interesting thing, is I'm not sure how you get that second generation. I'm not sure where the second generation of Andy Griffith fans would be. And that's what I was trying to figure out, if there was anything, kind of do an Amazon approach. If you like this, you might like the Andy Griffith Show, which means you might like my show. And I was trying to think about it. There isn't really any super wholesome, you know, family TV anymore, is there? I mean, almost everything's.
Yeah, I've even looked for other podcasts that are like classic TV type podcasts, and really MASH is about the only MASH, and then there's some Twilight Zone, but there's almost no Leave It to Beaver. There's no I Love Lucy, because I would think we could team together, but there are none. I was just very surprised over the years that nobody has done, because those are popular classic television shows as well.
Yeah, I know
that there's no other.
I know you might want to check out. I know here in Cleveland, there's a station. It's free, called Get TV, that my wife and I just affectionately refer to as the Dead Channel, because everybody on that, it's all this old TV stuff, and everybody on it is dead. And so you might want to look into, you know, Get TV, or see if there are any channels that are, you know, maybe where it's playing, and then see if there's any kind of forums for that. But you've got the niche, you know, you've got the target already down. It's just a matter of figuring out where are those people.
You know,
well,
Dave,
I'm doing fine. I mean, I'm not trying to super grow the audience or anything. I've got a iMayberry community, you know, a forum that's, you know, I've got a whole community built up, about 700 people. So, I mean, I'm doing okay, especially when Mayberry.com is one of my sites John Parker is talking about there. So I have a lot of that already built up. But I guess in not really talking about my show in specific, but just a lot of the comments I'm hearing from the podcast community is talking, everything's based on business podcast.
Yeah.
And so it would be neat to hear some comments about any type of entertainment podcast, because there are a lot of them,
Yeah, I'll forward, I'll take your clip out of this show and I'll throw it over to Eric and maybe he'll cover that, but he might have some insights. Darren, any thoughts on this topic?
You know, one thing that I thought about, I like Andy Griffith, but I haven't watched in a long time. And one thing just about this show specifically, you know, that it's going to appeal more to an older generation because it's really off the air, except there, I think, TBS or somebody plays in the reruns. But a lot of the younger people, the people that are more podcast savvy, don't even know what the Andy Griffith Show is. Now, I'm not throwing everybody in the same bucket, no, but and that's where this business and these entrepreneurial type podcasts come from, because your biggest majority of listeners, you know, are that 25 to 55 or 25 to 45 range in podcasting. Well, once you get into a show that was popular in the 60s, those people don't even have smartphones. Not all. I'm not throwing everything in a bucket, but you know, like my grandma don't know what a podcast was. You know, I mean, that's. I think that could be part of the problem. Is that you're going to have to be able to go to places where people do know what the Andy Griffith Show is. My grandchildren have seen it a time or two at my house, but they don't really know what it is.
Yeah,
you're very right, and I have a hard time with my audience being able to understand how to consume it as well. You know, even though you can go to the website, you can click a link, there's video. I do an audio and a video version of the show. You can watch them both right there. They have a hard time, and that is true. These are not knocking Mayberry people, but yeah, you're exactly right. They are, but we do have a lot of younger ones as well, so that is good. There is a younger generation growing up with some of these shows. But that has always been, I think, not just inherent to my particular podcast, but just podcasters in general, educating the audience how to listen or what it really means.
Yeah, go ahead.
One more thing. Try to get into some forums and things with some homeschooling groups, because traditionally, and again, no big bucket here, but traditionally homeschooling groups a lot of times are more faith-based, and a lot of times the shows that they watch are very specific, and they're very niche down to things like Andy Griffith Show and I Love Lucy and stuff like that. Becoming involved in some of those forums, that might allow those parents who are generally a little bit more cutting edge for their kids because of the homeschooling thing, that's something that they can let their kids listen to or watch or be involved in. There may be a market you can market your show to a whole different group of people who will consume it because that's the content they
like. Yeah, one of the things I need to update, I started it's way outdated. LearnToSubscribe.com was how to subscribe to a podcast in iTunes, I think. I haven't been out there in a while. I'm going to get embarrassed if I look at this. But I would like to I mentioned it to Ray Ortega, who's much more video savvy than I am. But I would love to have a video out there on how to subscribe in iTunes, how to subscribe on an iPhone, how to install the app. Because a lot of people are walking around. I mean, 75% of people, if you go, depending on what demographic you're looking at, have a smartphone. I don't think people know that they have a device that can consume content that they want, whenever they want, wherever they want, in their pocket. And we do need to come up with a really cool, polished, easy-to-understand tutorial that we can just send everybody to. And that is something that – the good news is it's not as bad as it used to be in terms of we don't have to explain – at least people now have heard the word podcast. And we don't have to say, no, you don't need an iPod. But, Yeah. So, Alan, tell us in the voice of Floyd, if I remember right, you do a great Floyd imitation, where we can find your podcast.
Yeah, Floyd Larson. It's twochairsnowaiting.com. Yeah, I got the magazine to swing it, too. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, twochairsnowaiting.com. Yeah, that's a great question. And I do think you have a point, though. And you know, I fell off the wagon last night. Boy, that sounds horrible. I better finish that sentence. In the fact that I tell everybody, focus on your audience, focus on great content. And I had something come up on my radar. And you mentioned how it seems like everybody seems somewhat obsessed on making money with their podcast now. And I made a blog post at the school of podcasting.com that says, do you know who your podcast expert is? Because I do on occasion, I will skim through Odesk to see if anybody needs help with podcast editing. And I'll pick up an odd job here or there. And I'm seeing more and more where somebody had a post for, I need someone to write a 6,000 to 8,000 word book on podcasting and how to make money with podcasting. And it was all that's all it was how you can get famous and rich overnight with a podcast. And they wanted to pay you a whopping $120 to write 8,000 words. And I thought, how long would it take to write 8,000 words on a subject? And then the other thing I found was on LinkedIn, somebody said author of the number one how to podcast book. And I'm like, really? Cause I've never heard about it. So I looked up this person's book and it wasn't number one. Now on one hand, it went to number six in their whatever genre, not number one overall, not number six overall, number six in their whatever that would be category, which again is impressive, not knocking it, but it wasn't number one. And I just went, in my book, when you say something that's not true, what do they call that again, Darren? I think it's
a lie.
Yeah, I think it's called a lie. And I just went, I don't call people liars. That's a pretty nasty accusation. But I just thought, oh, is this what it's going to come down to now that people have figured out that podcasting, because, you know, the Social Media Examiner has said, wow, this is where all the marketers are coming and this is where they're going. And I'm like, oh, I hope we don't turn into just nothing but, you know, how to make money with your podcast. Here it is. This is the hottest. And I can show you how you can be blah, blah, blah. And you can network with Apple and yada, yada, yada. And I was just like, which is true. I was just worried that I get the feeling that we're over the ridge there. We're going to have a bunch of people coming at us telling how we can, make it rich overnight.
That happens with everything. Look at Facebook. Facebook started, you know how Facebook started. Now Facebook is, it's all about monetizing Facebook ads and making money. Anything that goes on somehow moves into the realm of how can we monetize this and make money. And that's the natural progression of things in America.
Yeah, that is true.
And I think that's okay. I don't have a problem with people trying to make money off their podcast at all. Don't get me wrong there.
Right.
But I do agree with you, Dave, that there are a lot of people trying to get into podcasting to make money. And you're always telling them that's not the right reason.
Yeah.
Go in because you enjoy it and then make money at it if you can figure out how. You figure out how to make money off of what you enjoy doing. And that's that. And I think that's awesome. And I want to thank you, Dave, because you have stayed with your coaching and your school of podcasting. You've made sure you're taking care of the new podcasters, people that are trying to start and learn and grow their show. I've been doing this since 2008 myself. And I still listen to your show all the time because you do still give advice. And, yeah, you repeat things. But, as any good teacher knows, repeating things often helps the student remember. So we appreciate what you do.
Well, on Monday's show, I'm going to be talking about what you can take from churches and Chipotle and apply it to your podcast. So that's it's kind of a continuation of last week's show. Last week I talked about, embracing what makes you. And so we're going to be talking about that on Monday. If you think about it, I'll give you a little hint here. Every church has the exact same, and people are going to get up in arms about this, but every single church has the same product. There's only one Jesus, and how you tell that message and how you connect with your audience has a lot to do with it. So that's a little peek behind the curtain of what's coming up on Monday's show. But Jim Collison is in the chat room. Jim, buddy, glad to see you. Hope you had a good run this morning. And if you guys want to call in, we got about 5 minutes left here. It's 440-253-9922. And we could probably take another call here before we head out the door. But Alan, you know what's really cool about this? Alan, I've never heard your voice. And it's cool. I've seen your picture. I've seen you at the Podcasters Roundtable. We bump into each other in different chat rooms and stuff. But this is one of the things that's cool. Again, going back to podcasting, when people hear your voice, it does add a new dimension to what they think about you. I never knew you were in Alabama. So it's kind of like, wow, I have a more vivid picture of Alan now. It's kind of cool.
Well, thank you.
So, all right. Well, maybe we won't have another call. I thought somebody would call in. But we are here every Saturday. If you're new to the show, if you're listening to this, you can always go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/live. Or now, if you want, askthepodcastcoach.com/live. They both take you basically to the same place. And we've got a great chat room always clicking along out here. And we've got the same phone number. I have not given up on the dream of doing this as a Google Hangout on air. I am finding out that the more pieces to the puzzle you add, the more things that can break, right? If you think about it, you know, when we added power windows and power door locks and power steering and power this and power that to our car, there's just more things that are going to break. And this morning I was freaking out. I was trying to get everything set up and get ready. I always start usually literally about 9:30. I start an hour before the show because I do different shows. And I was set up for the podcast review show, which is a different setup than the one I used this morning. And to make a long story short, I finally figured out that I have a cable that had gone bad. But anytime you add a new aspect. So if I were to do this show as a video with a call-in number and still do it on Spreaker and Mixler, that's just a lot of plates that you're juggling there. And I was like, you know, maybe we won't do this as a Google Hangout. I want to do it at least once in that aspect just to say I could do it. But on the other hand, somebody, one of the listeners sent an email once that said, you know, Dave, is video really going to add anything to this show? Pretty much people are calling in. We've got the chat room and things like that. And I went, you know what? Maybe we're not really going to, gain anything by making it video. So we'll see. I am going to make that happen sometime in the future. But for now, I'm liking the fact that, we are getting a nice group of people out in the chat room, and people are chiming in after the fact. They're consuming it later, as you always do with a podcast. So we'll go ahead and start the fun-filled music here and thank everybody. Jim will be back next week. And Darren, again, where can people find you? Well, that's weird. You've turned into a robot. Try that again, Darren. We got a whole lot of nothing. Well, I'm going to do that for you because you're sounding like you're underwater. Thank you, Google Hangout. You can find Darren over at engaginglifeinleadership.com. It's a great podcast. And, you got to love Google Hangouts from time to time, or Skype. Technology is always our friend. You can find us here at askthepodcastcoach.com. This is episode 22, so everything we talked about you can find at askthepodcastcoach.com/22. You can find me over at schoolofpodcasting.com, and you can always find us here every Saturday at askthepodcastcoach.com, and like I said, schoolofpodcasting.com/live. If you get a second, review us on iTunes. And did you hear what I just did? I just gave you about 37 calls to action. Shame on me. But we'll see you next Saturday. Take care, everybody.